Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
For those of you that know anybody that lives in hurricane zones in a place like Florida, the one thing you can count on when people talk about hurricanes that are longtime residents of a state like Florida is they'll always compare them to past hurricanes. That's a big talking point. They love to do that. And today, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, did just that. He said the intensity of this Hurricane Ian will probably only fall behind, and this is kind of interesting, the Labor Day hurricane of 1935. See, there were no names back then.
Was he there for that?
No, but they're looking at their record books.
Do they have a guy who's about like 102 or remembers it?
It's recorded. Yeah. 1992's Hurricane Andrew, 2018's Hurricane Michael. Some are comparing the path of this hurricane to Hurricane Charley, which came a few years back, but DeSantis said today that one was smaller. This is just a really, really big storm front.
Yeah, it hit the same spot on the coast.
That's right.
But it's three times larger.
Three times as large. It came in as a Category 4, and he thinks it will be among the top five hurricanes to ever hit the Florida Peninsula, is his belief. What we have going on now is it is making its way across the state. It is hitting parts of Orlando. There's at least a million people in the dark. Power. And the thing that we're really watching on the southwest coast of Florida in places like Fort Myers is the water surge. There is unbelievable video coming out of that region of the state where the water is just rising and rising, what they call the storm surge.
It started in Fort Myers at about 10 o'clock this morning, our time, because I was watching it live. Incredible gushing of the Gulf of Mexico. And it kept rising higher and higher and higher. And the camera was perched across the street high up. It was in a business district. And, you know, eventually it was coming up almost as high as the camera. Oh. And you couldn't even make out what was going on anymore because it was, there was so much rain, so many rain droplets on the camera, and the wind was blowing so hard that the visibility was zero. But now, yeah, it was fascinating to watch, and it happened fast too.
Thing about Florida is it's a mushy state, it's swamps, so and there's a number of lakes too that they believe in, rivers, which are going to rise also. Even in the Orlando area, they're concerned about the water surge.
Is alligators get flushed out of all those swamps. Really?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Floodings of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone areas is imminent or occurring, according to a National Weather Service statement.
Yeah. When the water recedes, you're going to see alligators littered all over the place, on people's lawns, their driveways.
Yeah, that's true. They all get displanted. They all get knocked around.
Yeah, yeah. Because they lurk, and you can't even see them. They like to be just a little bit submerged. There's a lot of, like, roadside gullies that they use for drainage. There's a lot of random lakes and ponds all over the place, and they look very benign and pretty, except there's alligators in there.
Oh. As this storm makes its way across the state and then eventually northward into places like Georgia and the Carolinas, it's going to obviously come down, and eventually they believe by tomorrow morning sometime, it'll just be classified as a tropical storm. But they're still feeling the worst of it right now as we speak. And every story I read is the same. The wind is a problem, but it's going to be the water surge. DeSantis says that people are already calling for rescues, but it's pretty hard to get to them.
No, they
warned them to evacuate.
They shut down a lot of the rescue services, that the rescuers aren't going to risk their lives right now.
Right.
I heard one emergency services guy say, "No, we're not leaving. We've closed ourselves down here at the station. We're not leaving until the winds are below 45 miles an hour." And it's going to be hours before that happens in some areas.
Yeah, because he says they have more than 600 high water vehicles and more than 300 boats of all sizes, and 250 of them are already stationed in the major impacted areas, but. You might be right. It might be too dangerous to try to just launch them out there now.
They've got some video running right now on CNN, and it almost looks like time-lapse video. You know how if you see time-lapse video and the clouds are rushing across the sky very quickly, or the traffic is... Well, it's that same effect, except it's real time, and it's the wind-driven rain sweeping across the roadway and sweeping sideways across the camera frame. And the trees bent over almost entirely. I mean, these are probably 100-plus mile-an-hour winds that they've got video of.
12 to 18 inches of rainfall is expected across the region. Local highs could be as much as 2 feet, according to predictions. Along the I-4 corridor is a high risk of very heavy rain that could produce flash flooding and impassable roads. One note by Governor DeSantis today, like I said, they like to talk about past hurricanes. With Hurricane Irma, 7 people died directly because of the storm, but there were 77 fatalities post-storm. That's standing water, down power lines, people misusing generators. So he's warning everybody that even if the storm passes, don't relax. Be careful.
Darwin stuff. Yeah, don't touch electricity. Don't touch electrical wires. By the way, when do they start putting power lines below the ground? Is that ever going to happen?
It's very expensive.
Like in the whole world? Yeah, well, this looks pretty expensive, though, too. I just don't understand. Dig a hole.
The craziest of the storm surge videos are coming from this southwest coast of Florida, places like Fort Myers, Sanibel Island, Naples. These are where we're seeing a lot of these stories where people are up on rooftops. And they've got other cameras that are planted in locations just showing you how much the water is sloshing around.
The hurricane came on shore there, and the angle of the hurricane, the northeast quadrant of the hurricane, right, the northeast section,
right.
If as related to the eye of the hurricane, that's where the most dangerous winds are. Like they're sweeping up, you know, from the south. The winds blow counterclockwise around the eye, so they pull the ocean up, and the water goes to where the northeast quadrant is of the hurricane, and that was lined right up with the bay that leads into Fort Myers.
Oh.
And so that's why they got hit really, really hard. If you're on the backside of the hurricane, you're getting the winds off the land, right? So
right.
If it's off the land, it pushes the water away from your harbor. But if you're on the front side, it pushes the water to you.
I'm looking at a 12-second video from Naples. Houses are moving. In other words, the storm surge of water is just taking the house right off the foundation, and it's floating along in the water.
Like instant mobile home.
It's a houseboat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You find out the construction values of your neighborhood.
I hope the people are okay. I can't imagine being in this.
So you got to get out.
Well, maybe many of them did. We don't know.
Probably most of them did, but there's always idiots. I mean, there's a spectrum of intelligence. There's a spectrum of everything. And people on the low end usually have this, I always hear these warnings. I'm going to ride it out. And that's the guy you see standing on the roof.
Oh, listen to this. Border Patrol has confirmed that 23 people were missing off the coast of Florida. A Cuban migrant boat sank. Oh, that's not a good time to be making that trip.
No.
Cuba, you saw, had lost all power. They're getting it back slowly, but the entire island, nation of Cuba, went dark when Ian hit there yesterday.
Yeah, well, much of Florida is going to be dark, too. Because this thing is moving so slow, it's down to 8 miles an hour.
That's the thing they're saying about it.
Yeah.
It's snail-like pace is really going to cause a lot of problems.
Last I saw, and this might have been an hour ago, it was about 110 miles south-southwest of Orlando. Now, at 8 miles an hour, that's going to take about 12 hours to get to the Orlando area.
All right. We'll give you more updates, of course, with KFI News 2. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. There are mandatory curfews for the coastal communities of Collier County, the city of Fort Myers, beginning tonight, local time.
Oh, the looters are going to come out.
If they can wade through the water.
Oh, yeah.
What's left of the merchandise that's floating by? Yeah, Fort Myers has a 48-hour curfew that goes into effect. It did go into effect at 6 o'clock local time.
Yep.
A couple of hours ago.
Well, the power's all gone, so.
Right. Looking at pictures of homes, damaged condos. There apparently was one 27-floor apartment building in Fort Myers that was swaying in the winds that hit.
That feels good. You know why? During the daytime, the coverage is a little frustrating because they have fixed cameras and they have them pointed on their reporters who are blown around in the wind.
Yes.
But obviously, a lot of the roads are closed and they're flooded anyway, so you can't really drive around and show the damage. It's tomorrow after the storm has passed. That's when we're going to see the damage. You're going to see flattened homes that sailed down the river.
Oh, wow.
All the downed trees, the alligators and the sharks flying around. Oh, yeah, cars that were in fact, look, I'm looking at I don't know where that is. Oh, it's in Fort Myers. Yeah, there's a car submerged right up to the its roof.
Oh, there are homes floating by.
Yeah.
They just got pulled right off their foundations. There's now 1.5 million people without power. The number just jumped from 1 million to 1.5 million in the latest update. Most of it in the coverage area serviced by Florida Power and Light. This includes Lee County, where Ian first hit hours ago in Florida. I'm looking at a picture from St. Petersburg where the flamingos are safe. They've been taken inside to a bathroom. They're all huddled together. Indoors. Flamingos,
well-known
Florida symbol.
You know, we went to Sarasota every year, and Sarasota has this small zoo called Sarasota Jungle Gardens, and I went there just early this summer, and the kids loved going there all the time, and they had a pretty good collection of flamingos, probably about 40 of them or so. And they would number them, and so you could come back, if you remember the numbers, and meet the same flamingos every year. Like, there was one flamingo who only had half a beak. Something had happened. He got into a fight with another flamingo. One of my sons saw him every year and called him Half Beak, right? And then we came back 1 year, and Half Beak was gone. And apparently, they'd had a cold winter, and Half Beak froze.
Oh.
And I was today, one of the photos I saw early on was the sign for Sarasota Jungle Gardens. They had a big, colorful sign where it says, "Turn here." And it had fallen on the ground, and it was all dented and battered and everything from the wind. And I thought about the flamingos. I wonder what happened to them. I hope they took them in. And they have a lot of other animals, too.
Yeah, this was in St. Petersburg. They took them in.
They probably had their first flight.
Now, in another part.
If you're caught in a 100-mile-an-hour wind, yeah.
In another part of Florida, this is also an odd thing. We had mentioned earlier in the show that a shark was spotted. People are having catfish appearing in their driveways and yards. And it's a specific type of catfish, which is known as a walking catfish. I'll explain that in a moment. But one fish measured 6 or 7 inches and was flopping in the driveway in a shallow puddle of water. People are taking video of this. They can't believe it. They come outside and there's catfish on their lawn.
Is that a good dinner?
These catfish, called walking catfish, breathe air and walk on their pectoral fins. They're native to Southeast Asia. However, they're found throughout Florida in swampy areas like the Everglades.
Oh, that was some hurricane.
They're sometimes in storm-drainage systems. They can emerge during floods.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. They're just washed out. You ever go after a heavy rain, sometimes you see the worms get washed up on the sidewalk?
Right. No, and that's what's
happening to these catfish.
That's what I mean about
You can eat them.
That's what I mean about the alligators. That's what happens. The alligators wash up like the worms do.
Why do people live in Florida?
Because there's freedom in Florida.
And it has nice weather most of the year.
Yeah, but every year we deal with something like this.
Well, they're going to say that when we have our earthquake.
But we don't
Why does Deborah Mark live in California?
But earthquakes don't happen every single year, thank goodness.
Yes, but when we get that 8-point whatever,
well, that,
which is,
I know. I've been trying to figure out another place to live, and I haven't been successful in finding that. But Florida, with the alligators, the crocodiles, the catfish, the hurricanes, the flooding. Oh.
Yeah, I don't care about the catfish, but an alligator or a shark washing up
shark.
In my yard.
Right.
That would be disturbing.
Did you see the shark swimming down?
No, I did not see it yet.
No, that's fun.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'll have to check
that. It's not that big, though, right?
No, it's a small one. No. But, you know, you don't want to take it on yourself.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will capture it and have it as a pet.
It's probably about 4 feet, I would say.
No.
Yeah. Baby
shark.
Well,
this is the apocalypse, isn't it? Everything's washing up. Florida's going under. All right, we got more updates coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Coming up after 5 o'clock, we want to see those test scores. So this is quite a story that you need to be made aware of. Thanks to the pandemic lockdown and all the dopey Zoom school, well, we're finally seeing the results. And apparently the statewide test scores for many of California's public school students are not being released by the superintendent of instruction for the state on purpose, delayed. Till, maybe after the election?
He's running for re-election.
That's right.
So he doesn't want you to know how horrible the test scores were because he participated in shutting down all the schools.
How about that? We'll give you the details of this story. It's an important one. Coming up after the news at 5 o'clock. And if we learn anything further on developments in Florida with Hurricane Ian making its way sort of across the state.
The latest is it's still
northeast
raining.
Pattern. What's that?
Latest is it's still raining.
Well, I'll bet it's a bit windy still.
Yeah, still, very windy rain.
And there seems to be water in the streets and
sharks and alligators. And
you're right on top of that, huh?
Oh,
what are you staring at, Wolf Blitzer?
I am watching multiple screens of hurricane destruction.
Okay. You just sound a little gleeful.
Huh?
You shouldn't.
That's something about extreme weather.
I'm excited.
Something about extreme weather really excites me.
Yeah, but this could be.
It's like the opposite.
Take lives.
Huh? No, everybody's fine.
So far.
Yeah, so far. Well, at this point, if something happens to you, probably it's your fault. You should be hiding.
Back here in California, here's a headline. More than 1 in 4 Southern California families cannot pay their energy bills. Now, I have 2 thoughts when I read that. Of course, California has, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, we of course have high gas prices. That's beaten into us. We drive past the signs, we know people in other states, but one thing that's not talked about enough is how high our electricity prices are.
Right.
You really are paying the price for this dopey move towards alternative sources.
Wind and solar is really expensive. We have the highest electricity rates in the country, 60% higher than the national average. And a quarter of the population is at poverty level or below. So, of course, you'd have about a quarter of the population can't afford their electricity bills.
But sometimes when I read these stories, I wonder when they say that, did they pay the phone bill, you know, so they could sit there and stare at social media and look at Facebook? And
right. Do they have a 1300?
There is like nobody that does not have a cell phone, and cell phones are not free.
Yeah.
So
$1,000.
Always wonder what the priorities are in some of these households when they answer these questions. They're telling the researchers here that, well, we had to cut back on food or medicine to pay our energy bill. Really?
Yeah, I'm with you on that because I think a lot of people spend money on all kinds of garbage. I always wonder, okay, what's your cable bill? What's your internet bill? What's your streaming service bill? What's your iPhone that you got there? Right. Yeah, I don't think these people are walking around with iPhone 6s.
Well, 39% of families making less than 50 grand were unable to pay their energy bills in full at least once in the past year. For those that make over 150 grand, it was only 5%. That's California's disparity. We have the very poor. I mean, when you make less than $50,000 in Southern California, that's pretty poor.
So, right, but you vote for people who create these excessively high electricity rates. You do this. You could have voted for other people, and we would have just relied on...
They don't make the connection. They don't know that that's what's going on.
I guess that's the penalty. The penalty for being uninformed and making stupid choices when you vote. Here's the penalty. Now you can't pay your bills. Other
Some
states
people
don't
weren't
have...
even aware that they started this. SoCal Edison started this pricing thing. I think it was this year, where if you do use energy during peak hours, they give you much higher prices.
Yeah.
And during that heat wave in early September, I'm looking at a chart here, SoCal weekly average on peak wholesale electricity price, it reached $280 per megawatt hour in the period between August 7th and September 25th. And this looks like it was around September 6th. I mean, I'm saying that because in comparison, if you look back to way earlier in August, it was down to like $120 per megawatt hour, $280. You see the increase there?
You get hosed by the energy companies, absolutely hosed. And again, it's because the state doesn't produce enough energy. I have no idea why they don't produce more energy, get the nuclear plants built, the natural gas plants built, knock off this weird hippie obsession with green energy. Because if you create enough energy, you don't have to charge double or triple the price because you go into tier three. Why is there a tier three? It should be the same price per megawatt hour. But since they're running out of energy every day during heat waves, they've got to come up with a cockamamie plan to give us a disincentive. Why is there a disincentive? Make more energy.
They want you to use less.
Because they don't make enough. This is self-created. Oh, and they get a bigger profit too, right? If they made enough, they wouldn't make such a great profit per megawatt hour. But by creating an artificial shortage, they're charging $285 instead of $120. It's a racket. It's a scam.
Now,
the other 49 states don't have this.
Somewhat related to this, this is the period, it's ending soon, where Dippity-Doo has to sign bills or veto them. And we always say on the John and Ken show, this is always an important rule to remember in life. It's not what people say, it's what they do. So he has started to veto bills that he says are going to cost too much, including the big one the other day about mandatory kindergarten. He vetoed that bill, and in his message, he did say that it might be too expensive for the state. And I'm saying all this because it could have cost up to $268 million a year to mandate kindergarten. I'm saying all this because you may be aware that it's been a pretty bad ride for the stock market most of this year, but in the last month especially. This completely and disproportionately affects California revenues because we got the wealthy who are paying most of the income taxes, and a lot of them derive their wealth from their capital gains on the markets, and the markets have not done well this year. So this cocky governor finally realizes that things could crash. So he vetoed a series of bills, including, I like this one, a five-year program to let California students ride public transit at no cost. That, he said, would have cost $115 million a year. So he put the veto stamp on it. A bill to reduce light pollution would have required all outdoor lights on state properties to have anti-light pollution shields? Oh, good Lord. He vetoed that one as unnecessary.
You know what? These legislators have all kinds of, like, crackpot pet issues.
Oh, they have nothing to do.
And you know, it's like the idiot who brings up the daylight saving time issue
every
year, and then you have this idiot who's worried about light pollution. What are you talking
about?
Oh,
this is that crazy Alex Lee from the Bay Area.
Yeah, he's
we've run into him before.
He's really young, and he's a real nut. He's one of these millennial wieners, and he has all these pet boutique little San Francisco style issues. It's like, yeah, light pollution's the problem. Last I walked around your city, your area, you had about 8,000 people dying and rotting in the streets, and you're worried about light pollution. Look down instead of looking up.
Now, the state supposedly has a lot of money in its rainy day fund. In May, Newsom projected the state had $23.3 billion in this pot of money. Because this talk about the $100 billion surplus is long gone. We're not headed in that direction with this fiscal year. I can tell you that right now.
Do you want to hear like an accounting of what you opened with there about how the wealthy disproportionately pay taxes in this state? Listen to this. There's 100,000 taxpayers with incomes above $1 million. That's 0.5% of all the tax returns. They pay 35% of the income tax
in this state. Way out of whack.
Yeah.
Remember Schwarzenegger and Jerry Brown wanted to rejigger taxes? They wanted to actually charge like a bigger sales tax or just what do they call it in Europe? Like one of those taxes when you get any kind
value
of
value added tax.
Like yeah, something like that.
Consumption tax.
Actually, they said we cannot stick too much on income taxes. Yeah. It's going to kill us when things dump.
Actually, it's up to now 40%. Top 0.5% pays 40% of California personal income taxes.
Wow.
And they get most of that from cashing in stocks. Because a lot of executives, everybody, like, I constantly, almost every day, hear somebody carping about how much executives make. Executives make most of their money in stock grants. Sometimes they have relatively small salaries, but they have these stock grants. But you don't pay taxes on stocks until you sell them. And then you pay taxes on the profit. What people do, and Jeff Bezos does this, for example, Elon Musk does this, they borrow against their stock holdings. They live off a massive loan. But you don't have to pay a tax on a massive loan. So that's why you hear about their tax bills being so low, because technically they don't have much income. Their salaries are relatively low.
Do they pay interest on this loan?
Well, yes, they do.
That could be deductible too, right?
Right. Right. So, but, during this stock downturn you were talking about, right? The wealthiest people lost $315 billion of their own personal wealth. $315 billion. The stock market crashing has cost trillions of dollars in wealth, all told. This state is so heavily weighted that if we have a prolonged stock market downturn, which we could have if there's a recession, then you're going to see Newsom is going to be squealing like a stuck pig next year.
All right, we got more coming up on the John and Ken Show. KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Well, Hurricane Ian's already down to a Category 3, so we're done with it. Let's move on.
It says people are trapped in their homes, according to one of the Florida sheriffs.
Well, yeah, flooding on the West Coast there, that's going to be a story for days.
Well, they told you. How many days did they tell you to evacuate?
Leave!
I'm trapped! Say, hey.
Help me, I'm on my roof.
We're busy.
We're floating away.
We told you to get out.
Of course, one of the great political stories of the day, and we'll play it again next hour, was Joe Biden looking for a dead woman in the crowd today, asking her to take a bow. Yeah. This one, though, is fantastic as well. There's a book coming out about the Trump presidency by a New York Times writer. And it is, and I guess they're releasing catchy excerpts.
Yeah, this is a pretty good book. I've read some excerpts of it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, this looks good. I'm going to buy it.
Okay. Well, so this story, which is making the rounds and getting a lot of attention today, takes us back to October of 2016, when Trump was going to debate Hillary for the presidency. And supposedly, the story is, Richard Bloom, who's now dead, but he was alive then, the husband of Dianne Feinstein.
Biden was looking for him, too.
Feinstein chaired the Senate Intelligence Committee at the time. So during preparations for the third debate, Hillary Clinton's team was disrupted by a warning from Mr. Bloom, who said he was told that the Russians might try to poison Hillary through a handshake with Trump to inflict a dramatic health episode during the debate. And, so right out of the Putin playbook, right? A poisoning?
And the Clinton crowd bought into this.
They did, huh?
They were freaked out. Yeah.
Did she shake his hand or?
Well, until Ron Klain, who is now the chief of staff for Biden, he listened to this and he goes, well, wouldn't the poison kill Trump too then?
Maybe there's a way you can apply it. Maybe you wear like a really thin see-through glove, right? And
yeah.
You put it on the outside of the glove, right? You can come up with the way.
Come on, think
outside the box.
I suppose you could.
This is Putin. KGB. He loves poisoning people.
Her communications director, Jennifer Palmieri.
Well, what a moment that would have been on the debate stage.
Right. If she just like dropped dead right in front of him.
And he starts clutching it.
Holds up his hand and it's all red and swollen. Anyway, Jennifer Palmieri was her spokesperson. And she took it seriously enough to check it out.
Like, but Clinton did not.
Who started this? And it was speculation from a historian. It was just something a guy made up.
But Bloom really brought into it?
Enough to spread it. And it was Ron Klain said, well, how could Trump poison Clinton without harming himself? And I guess that calmed everybody down.
And that calmed everyone down?
Yeah.
There are ways. Maybe he could have a little tiny injection, just walk by her and
Well, if Trump had showed up with an umbrella.
Released a poisonous spider. Trump, that's right, the umbrella.
The umbrella. That's how you kill your enemies.
It looks rather cloudy inside here.
Maybe. Right. You see somebody on the street, you're carrying an umbrella, and you just playfully poke at them. Say, hey, how you doing? Uh-oh, I forgot there was poison in the tip of the umbrella.
I like the fact that they wouldn't put it beneath Trump to try to kill Hillary Clinton on stage during a debate.
Okay. Wow. But it shows you how nuts they are. It shows you how crazy they are.
Well, many people believe there's nothing he wouldn't do. And he's Putin's puppet, so this would make him very favorable.
We're a little short on evidence of anything he actually did with the Russians. It's been 7 years. After 7 years, do you have even one story you can prove?
All right, coming up, we will be talking a bit about the hurricane, a couple of stories there. We're talking about pipelines. Pipelines, yeah, that big one in Europe. Apparently, it's got some leaks, the Nord Stream. We'll also talk about an eco-terrorist who got in trouble for damaging a pipeline. But we'll begin with the big story. That apparently the guy that is the Secretary of Education here in the state of California, Superintendent of Instruction, is refusing to release the statewide test scores for students. Uh-huh. More coming up. Johnny Kent Show. KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.